relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I think Biden's a bit confused. Didn't they tell us about a month ago that America First has to be dismantled? And now he's standing in front of a blue screen that says, the future will be made in America. Well, which is it? Made in China or made in America? Make your mind up. Every day this week will have a theme, according to the Biden White House. Tomorrow it will be equity. Wednesday it will be climate day. Thursday will be healthcare, where they will plan to rescind the Mexico City policy, therefore allowing your money, taxpayer dollars, to go to fund abortions outside America. And then Friday, as if they haven't done enough damage already, Friday's theme will be immigration. As I promised, Tucker Carlson acquired an email from inside the Department of Homeland Security sent to ICE officers, and I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to ask our special guest to comment. Here is the text of the email. As of midnight tonight, stop all removals of illegal aliens. This includes Mexican bus runs, charter flights, and commercial removals until further notice. Release them all immediately. I'm sure there's somebody who has an opinion on that because he served in the Trump Department of Homeland Security. He is, of course, the former Attorney General of Virginia, former Deputy Secretary of DHS, Ken Cuccinelli. Welcome back to America First.
Hey, good to be with you, Seb.
So do you feel like you're in some nightmare scenario? You're in a bad dream given the last 4 days of executive orders?
Well, yes, you know, shocked but not surprised. It's not like they didn't tell us they were going to do this in one form or another, although when you look at it in real world, it seems pretty extreme. I don't actually think they have the authority to stop deportations. That's a statutory obligation on the part of ICE. So, you know, how they handle it. But you know, they're all going to be scared of a new administration, which has already made it clear that they're willing to. They don't care about morale. They don't care about happiness, joy, or the rule of law. So certainly not for Americans. And so I don't know that you're going to see a lot of people stand in the way inside the government. The question will be, what do others do? And Republicans are not in much of a position on Capitol Hill to do much, so you end up looking frequently to Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, and other attorneys general, Patrick Morrissey of West Virginia, Alan Wilson of South Carolina. They are going to be your last line of defense, and they're going to be very active and busy, and they're committed to do so whenever the Biden administration gets outside the boundaries of the law. And I think a lot of what they do, those questions will be raised.
So what you're saying is because of fear of some kind of retribution, despite the fact that ICE, DHS, has statutory responsibilities to the American people, they will not step in the way of these illegal demands coming out of the White House, and we're just going to have to wait for external actors to do something about it, Ken?
Well, with the exception, you know, the CBP and the ICE unions might step forward if, you know, it was the ICE union that sued on DACA many years ago, and that was a brave move on their part, and they prevailed. So, you know, their workers are affected by these orders. If you basically eliminate their role from a union perspective, you know, I'm not always a big union fan, but they have people to protect as well, both in terms of their job, but also their safety. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The approach this administration is taking is not calculated to improve safety at the border.
Yeah. What can you explain in terms that, so a lot of people may just write this off and say, well, you know, it's bad, but it doesn't really affect me because I don't live along the border. I don't live in Texas. I'm up in the Northeast. I'm in the Northwest. Why do these decisions of just the last 4 days from the Biden administration affect every single American, Ken Cuccinelli?
Well, we could go for a long time on that question, but let me just hit a couple of points. One, before COVID, you know, that's such an anomaly, we have to take it out. Before COVID, the combination of lower taxes, aggressive deregulation, and actually implementing immigration law, the rule of law, brought us the lowest poverty level in recorded history ever.
Yeah.
Poor people were doing great with these policies. Now, I'm not saying we got the poverty level down to the lowest level ever because of immigration policy alone, but it did play a role. I mean, all the massive influx they're inviting quite intentionally, the people that lose in that deal are poor Americans.
And often minorities, no, Ken? Ken?
Of course they are. Of course they are. It is not a coincidence. You can't get the lowest poverty level in history without driving both black and Hispanic unemployment down. And I'll share a fact that very few people, even in the Trump administration, realize, but it's a big deal to me. We spent more time under 8% unemployment for black Americans, and it's measured month by month. So we had more months under 8% unemployment for black Americans under Donald Trump than the rest of my life combined.
Yeah.
That's how well those policies worked. So you can focus on immigration, and we should. It's a national security issue. It has all sorts of implications. But let's not kid ourselves. What this administration, the new administration, is doing is bad for poor people in this country.
And beyond
over
the,
and above all the immigration problems.
Well, let's talk about those. Beyond the economic arguments, can you talk a little bit about the humanitarian and the national security aspects of saying we're going to release illegal aliens, the caravans are coming, we don't need to finish the border wall? Why should everyone care about those issues, Ken?
Well, first of all, we built up, especially in the last 2 years, tremendous partnerships with Mexico, Guatemala, in particular Honduras and El Salvador, to restrain this kind of flow. That doesn't mean we stopped it, but there hadn't been a caravan that got anywhere from the beginning of 2019 because of the partnerships and the training we provided and so forth. And they have thrown those people under the bus. And
let's unpack that for a second, Ken. They've thrown our partners in Guatemala, Mexico, El Salvador under the bus because of their open borders, you know, come and get it policies. Is that why?
Yes. So now they get stampedes across their country. You watched the video only a week ago of the Herculean effort by Guatemalan law enforcement to just literally hold back the tide of illegals coming out of Honduras into Guatemala. That was an invasion, and they tried to stop it, and they failed. And the policies of the Biden administration invite more of that. If you're a Guatemalan security official, you're not real excited about that, particularly in the age of COVID, where we're months, and for them, probably more than a year away from adequate vaccination to knock down the COVID problem. So, and you create a humanitarian crisis at the border, because when you invite these kinds of numbers, we're going to get back to 2019 summer style crisis pretty quickly, with nowhere to put these folks. And what that means is they're literally just going to get released. And they all know that, which in turn increases the numbers that come. So it's a terrible cycle they've put in place, all the wrong incentives, and they don't have the manpower or ability to handle it when the full wave hits in, say, a month or two. It'll take a little while for it to organize.
We're out of time, Ken, but isn't there the danger that this will also see an outbreak of coronavirus from these caravans?
Sure.
Yeah.
They're petri dishes. They're human petri dishes. They're coming up in tractor trailers together on trains. They're all packed together. They don't have any way to defend themselves from the virus.
I see this as potentially the first national crisis that will severely test the Biden administration. God bless you, Ken. Can't wait to see you next time you're in the swamp in studio. Follow him at Ken Cuccinelli on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. You heard it. The invasion of illegals, the caravans are back, and this administration is going to welcome them and release those that are already being kept in those facilities. Don't worry, we will overcome. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
President Biden is a big ice cream fan. So does that giant freezer full of ice cream really exist? I have not found it, and I have worked here before. When I was in Wilmington before the president was inaugurated, I did ask him for my 4-year-old niece, Soraya, who was very curious about what his favorite ice cream was, and his favorite ice cream was chocolate chip. So that is my my update for all of you on that, but I have not found the freezer yet.
I might be going senile, but I'm trying to remember. When did we have Sean Spicer or Sarah Huckabee Sanders do videos on their White House account about what the president's favorite ice cream was? That was Jen Psaki doing videos about ice cream on Your Dime. They've done it again. Just been texted by Congresswoman Marjorie Greene. Jack has done it again. She has suspended the new freshman. Has been suspended. Why? Because she quoted the Rasmussen popularity polls for Biden that I discussed at the top of the show that say he is well behind where Donald Trump was in his first week. And she made commentary on it, and that's why she got banned. I think we should get her in studio. Let's do that, Mr. G. Let's get Congresswoman Marjorie Greene back in studio. But now we go to your calls. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Our Patriot Mobile text line is 703-869-1262. Waiting very patiently in Los Angeles. Maria, line 2, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka, for taking my call. And so you know there are some conservatives who value the rule of law and the Constitution here in California. We are quite a vast breed out here. And my parents escaped communism and Nazism during World War II, risked their lives to get here. They became legal citizens. And we were schooled in that tyrant's playbook. It's here. It is here. We're looking. We're staring down the cliff. And, you know, the demoralization, the destabilization, the crisis, and then, quote, unquote, the strong arm of communism, the normalization. I'm quoting Bezmenov, a KBG defector, you know, who warned us long ago these seeds were pastis. My thing to you and to your listeners and to anybody and everybody who will hear, how do we build the infrastructure as strong and as vast and as meaningful as the left did? How do we as conservatives come together and break out into teams, however we do it, and watch our schools, you know, take back the propaganda, look at our voting polling places, rebuild our country from the ground up. We've got a lot of work. I mean, within a week, all those wonderful things that our President Trump has done, within a week, swipe of a pen, gone.
No. Hang on, Maria. Hang on.
I know.
Okay? You can't say that. You can't say all of them. Okay? You can't say all of them. Let me ask, where did your parents suffer under fascism and communism?
Poland.
Okay.
Warsaw. Poland. Mm-hmm.
So here's my response. First things first, we don't have to replicate the same level of infrastructure they have. Of course, it'd be nice, but we're not going to waste billions and billions on making a mirror image. What happened in 2016? We were outspent. The Trump campaign was outspent 100%. Hillary Clinton spent $1.2 billion that we know of, which is twice as much as we spent. And guess who won? We did, not her. So what we have to be is effective, and we have to be organized. I actually had a meeting on this topic, exactly this topic, at the weekend at my house, where we had people from the conservative community in our region. And the first thing we realized we have to do is, Maria, we have to stop preaching to the choir. We don't need to have another event where conservatives talk to conservatives. The stunning thing about what happened is that Donald Trump, despite 4 years of being lied about, 4 years of being attacked by the propagandists in the mainstream media, another 10 million people came on board the MAGA train. What we have to do is to reach out until it's 20, it's 30, it's 40 million. And I'll give you how we do it. We have to start talking about issues that are ostensibly apolitical. And the biggest one, as far as I'm concerned right now, that will get everybody into a room, everybody into a building to hear what you have to say, is schools being shut down. The fact that we are having an incredible increase in mental problems amongst the youth, in attempted suicides, means that every mother and father cares about this issue who cares for their children. So start getting to know your local community. Talk to people, reach out to people on issues that we all are interested in. Number one, schools. Number two, businesses being shut down. And number three, big tech. That's my recommendation, Maria. What do you think?
Okay, great. I agree wholeheartedly. We just need that organization. We need that team. This is exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, play their same game. I'm just saying we have to be better, smarter, better organized. We need to get the word out there. Believe me, I'm working at this level, emailing, communicating, whatever I can. But I would feel more effective if, let's just say, we had a better organization.
Yeah.
You know, we need to rebuild our communication. I mean, you know, look at how we're being snuffed out. Twitter, I'm concerned about conservative talk radio as well. You know, so we really need to gain some strength here and the organization. We're just waiting, you know.
No, wait. Don't wait. What are you waiting for? You start organizing. That's how we're going to win. Stay on the line. Superb call. Give that woman a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. You can get yours. If you don't have one yet, if you want to gift one to a friend, go to our website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, or go to our new store, sebgorkastore.com, where you can get signed copies of all of my books. Let's go to line one on the similar issue, Akron, Ohio. Bill, welcome. Bill.
Thank you, Freddy. Hello.
Yes, go ahead. You've got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to complain about the Republican Party. I don't think we need a third party. That's ridiculous. It'll split the vote. But if you've ever played competitive sports and played somebody, had a return game, and you lost because you thought you got cheated, what do you do? What's your game plan? What's the proximate cause of you losing?
Election fraud.
Okay, then fix it in those states. You've got 5 out of 6 states. They're Republican legislators. Fix it. Then go pick the rhinos out of the federal government.
Correct.
Don't want in there anymore. Why don't we have a game plan? It seems we're going all different directions.
Because the establishment doesn't want to win, Bill. Do you listen to this show? They don't want to win. They want to be in second place and pick up their paycheck.
But to your first point, you're absolutely right when it comes to a third party. So this is freshly sent to me from that great, great organization, Just the News. John Solomon just texted me this brand new study. So you know what would happen, according to Scott Rasmussen and Just the News poll? What would happen if the president launched a Patriot Party? According to this poll, it would beat the GOP. A new Patriot Party would get 23% of the electorate vote, pushing the GOP down to 17. But what does that mean? It means the Democrats would win forever. So you're right. Kick the rhinos out and rebuild the GOP as an America First MAGA party. It's up to us. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Vote Democrat. Don't be so bloody daft, man. I'd rather be dragged stark naked through a field of broken glass.
Indeed. How ironic. Have you heard what's happening with Amazon.com? In Alabama, they have employees that want to have an election about unionizing. The National Labor Relations Board last week permitted them to have a vote about it on unionization. And what did Jeff Bezos and Amazon say? You can't do it by mail. It would be wrong to vote by mail. Here is a quote from Amazon. How strange it is. Heather Knox, spokesperson for Amazon, said in a statement, Amazon is fighting for an in-person election because, quote, it's the best approach to a valid, fair, and successful election. We need one that is conducted manually, in person, making it easy for our employees to verify and cast their vote in close proximity to their workplace. I heartily agree, yes. Vote in person and check identities. Why is it okay for you, but not America? To continue our discussion on the future of the Republican Party, Matt Gaetz was on the Lou Dobbs Show. And he pulled no punches when it comes to the state of the GOP, and you need to hear it. This is Lou Dobbs, Matt Gaetz, Video Cut 3. Play cuts.
Straightforwardly, you said she should not be the chair of the conference, and the polling shows that the majority of the conference does not want her there as the number 3. Your most powerful Republican in Congress. What's happening? We haven't been able to get a straight answer from anybody about whether there'll even be a vote.
Well, here's the question for Liz Cheney. If more than half of our conference expresses their desire to remove her, will she still fight and stay? Because right now, Lou, the base of the Republican Party is strong, but at the top our leadership, frankly, is in shambles. You've got McConnell wavering on impeachment. You've got Liz Cheney spitting into the eyes of tens of millions of Americans by embracing the language and the arguments of the radical left instead of the America First movement. And then I think you have other leaders in our party who are totally shaken by the corporate PACs withholding their money from Republicans. Now, I'm the only Republican in Congress who doesn't take any PAC money. I canceled them before they could cancel me. But you have to see how significant it is when a leader is picked, maybe not because they're the smartest or the most charismatic or even the most effective communicator, but because they have the ability to move tens of millions of dollars in corporate PAC money. Well, if you take that corporate PAC money away, then it becomes more apparent when the emperor has no clothes. This is where we need the American people, Lou. We need folks to call their member of Congress and ask, are you one of the people joining Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and Freedom Caucus Chairman Andy Biggs and Matt Rosendale in calling for the removal of Liz Cheney? Or will we continue to allow our party to be led by people who will rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, who will allow America to decline rather than embracing the America First agenda?
The leadership of the GOP is, quote, in shambles. And the metric is not whether you produce results for your constituents, but how much money you raise. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Let's go to Maria, Long Beach, line two.
Oh, hi, Dr. Gorka.
Hey.
All this talk about these executive orders, I thought that if a president signed an executive order, couldn't Congress or the Senate rescind it somehow? Can't they have kind of a vote and say, no, that's not going to go through?
No, an executive order doesn't go to Congress.
But I thought that after he had signed it, they had the power, because I seem to remember something from my 10th grade history or something about that.
No, an executive order is an executive order. Once it's signed, it's signed. Now, you can bring a legal case against it, or you can bring a bill in the House that countermands it, whatever the issue is, but then it has to go to the Senate. And guess what? If the Senate passes it, who has to sign the bill?
Well,
Murray?
Then...
Who signs it? Who signs a bill in America?
Well, then the president.
The president, right? So that's the way it would work if they wanted to stop him. But guess who runs the House and the Senate, Marie?
Well, I don't have to guess.
Yeah, it's the Democrats. So in the time being, it's going to have to be legal action that is taken, or states have to take action. Great question. Thank you, Marie. I'm Sebastian Gorka. More of your calls and special guests here on America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you call us, however, don't call us on a regular cell phone on one of the big cell phone companies, because they're not on your side. Go with Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone company with dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks and now stronger, more expanded coverage than ever. Use my name to transfer your number and get massive, massive discounts, special deals, and know that when you make a call or send a text, you're not funding left-wing causes, as you are every time you do that with a big cell phone company. Call 972-PATRIOT today or go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. There's a reason they are rated number one in customer service in America. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Join the good guys. 972-PATRIOTS.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
With my friends, they do give me a hand now and again, especially my fellow faculty members at Salem Radio, including the great Dennis Prager. I call him my rabbi. He's such a wise man, and he has his fabulous new movie, No Safe Spaces, co-starring. I love that. Dennis is co-starring with Adam Carolla, and you can watch it right now. It's the story of political correctness across America and what it's going to take to push back. You can watch it at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. No safe spaces. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A. You will not regret it. Watch something edifying tonight at salemnow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's stay on the theme of culture with a new guest to the show, introduced to me by my muse, by my wife, Katie. His name is Rabbi Yehoshua Danis. Rabbi, welcome to America First.
Thank you so much, Jill. It's an honor to be speaking with you.
That's too kind, too kind. Your journey illustrates the Churchillian aphorism. He who has a heart, I'm going to mess this up. If you have a heart, you will be liberal as young, and he who has a brain will be conservative when older. Okay, that's close enough for today, for Monday.
So we'll add to that, that when you get older, you have the heart and the brain.
Well, ideally, you have both. Tell us your fascinating story. Who were you 30 years ago, and what were you doing, and what happened to you?
So 30 years ago, I would say a secular Jew. I was a Jewish person that was brought up with not much knowledge of my own religion, except for the fact that I was Jewish. And I had a tremendous talent and a tremendous drive to write.
And so you were a playwright, you acted, and what were your politics back then, Rabbi?
Well, the politics back then were really just what was in the street. I wasn't really even much into politics. I just knew I was a liberal, and I didn't like Ronald Reagan and things like that. So, and I wrote plays because that was my passion. I wrote, I acted, I directed, I produced sometimes all four roles in the same production. And it was one time I was walking with a friend, and I had this inspiration to write a play about religious Jewish people. And I just, you know, I said over the plot to my friend, and I got a chill down my spine. And then he said, wow, I just got a chill down my spine. So I thought, you know, two chills for the price of one. This must be a sign this is something I should work on.
So there you are. You're a secular, non-observant liberal Jew. You decide to do some research and write a play on your observant Jewish fellow brethren. And what happens in the process of researching and writing that play?
So the amazing thing is that I had so much work, so much workload, that I wasn't going to be able to get to this project for a long time. But all of a sudden, now I believe in God. I don't know about you.
I do.
But all of a sudden, God sent to me tremendous amounts of money from all different directions that I could take off from work and just write for 6 months. And when I finished the 6 months and I ran out of money, I was about ready to write that play on religious Jewish people. And I went to the library and just started doing research. And I don't know if you're aware, if you heard of Rebbetzin Esther Youngreis. She gave the keynote address in the Republican National Convention with George Bush Jr. So she had an organization called Hanani in Manhattan, and some friends took me over there. And I would just finish the play, and this is my first taste of a religious Jewish person was the Rebbetzin. And this is where I have to be. This is what my soul is crying for. Something that has meaning and purpose and fulfillment and direction, and that things that you do have consequences and ramifications and meaning. And what happened was is that I still was writing a little bit, but I went into the world. I went to yeshiva to start learning about my religion. I eventually ended up teaching in the yeshiva, becoming a rabbi, teaching in the yeshiva for a couple of decades. I'm still teaching. I'm known in my community as a rabbi. And I have a Facebook page in which many followers, in which I give little tidbits of Torah on the page every now and then. And but what happened was is that all of a sudden I had this really burning desire to write a play about Obama. And it really wasn't about Obama. It was called Obama's Children. In the 1970s, there was a play called Kennedy's Children, which wasn't about Kennedy's children. It was about the generation that Kennedy left behind. I wanted to write a play about the generation that Obama left behind. So I started writing that play, and then I realized that the genre now in 30 years changed, that there was a really big emphasis for 10-minute plays because people, I suppose, don't have that much attention span anymore. And I began writing 10-minute plays, but all these 10-minute plays were to, as a catharsis to my anger against the liberal world, which was just putting all kinds of stupidity and foolishness.
So you were writing originally as a secular liberal. Then you went to yeshiva, you found religion, now you're a rabbi, and now you're writing conservative plays.
Right, and the most important thing is that the liberal world in the theater looked down on anyone that would write a conservative play. They think we're a bunch of Neanderthal Cro-Magnon men, that, like, what could we possibly write about except, you know, wearing T-shirts without sleeves in them? That's all they think we can write about. But there's a tremendous amount of writing that has to be done. The theater needs to speak for people. I mean, one of the reasons why Donald Trump was so popular is because when he came on the scene, he was saying the things that we were feeling in our hearts. We need people who are saying the things that people are feeling. And that's why theater, conservative theater is so important. And then, you know, I was sending out these plays and nothing was happening. No theater was taken. And I knew because it wasn't politically correct, not because the plays weren't good. They just weren't. They weren't liberal. They were the exact opposite. I was making fun of the liberal world with the things I was writing. And then I just got, you know, I just said, I'm just going to type in conservative theater. And it came with this theater in Ohio that does conservative theater, and they're having a play festival. I submitted my play, and I was one of the winners.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that momentarily. Can you stay with us for one more segment, Rabbi?
Yes, I can.
All right, stay on the line. We're talking about one man's journey to the truth and what it means for American culture today. That's Rabbi Yehoshua Denise. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you're suffering from daily pain and have found relief nowhere else, you must take this incredible product that has relieved me from my lower back pain. Tens of thousands of Americans are getting daily relief from ReliefFactor.com. Just listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I am a believer 100%. You need to know if you could be the next Relief Factor success story. Call them on 800-500-8384 and order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose? You've waited long enough. You deserve to know. Don't wait another second. Call them, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. You could be the next success story. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First.
Portions of America First are brought to you by the film No Safe Spaces.
So excited. It's happened. It's official. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has announced her run for the governorship of Arkansas. We'll share that announcement with you later, but we have to go back to our good friend, our new guest here on America First, Rabbi Yehoshua Denise, who has described his fascinating journey from being a secular liberal playwright, actor, and director to being a conservative playwright today. Rabbi Denise, tell us, if you will, what is the challenge for you today and the state of popular culture in America?
So the thing is, we have to understand is that there is no culture anymore. I don't know if it's really considered culture. First of all, you have to understand that for 30 years, I really stayed away from all culture. Didn't look at anything that was going on because a lot of it is curse words and things you're not supposed to be looking at. At least a person who considers himself religious shouldn't be looking at.
Right.
So the fact that I'm going into the theater world, beginning writing plays, for instance, the play that I wrote, it is two women on a beach. So even if I would go to the play, I would listen to play. I wouldn't watch it because I can't look at women. I can't look at women on the beach. You know, my children are so confused. They don't understand what to do. Like, we're going to play it on the computer when it comes on, and I'm just going to turn to the side and let them watch. But I think that right now there is no culture. Culture is, you know, like a culture you put in a petri dish. Things grow on their own. Now nothing's allowed to grow on its own. Everything is just, you must be politically correct. The narrative must be there. And if not, even if a little bit, that you are not going according to the narrative, they can sense you and they will spit you out. And you'll have no place anywhere.
So what is our responsibility today? Is it just to cleave to the truth, Rabbi Denise?
So our responsibility today is to understand that we are the majority. I really don't think 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. I think 90 million people voted for him. I think the vast majority of the country is conservative. The vast majority of the country sees the hypocrisy. They see the two-facedness. They're sick of it. And we have to realize that we're not all alone. There's a great, tremendous number of people. We are the majority. And we have to ignore what they're saying in CNN, ignore what they're saying in all the liberal things. Don't even forget about them. They speak to so few people. You know, they speak to so few people, there's no point in even paying attention to them whatsoever, and not to let them define anything. They define things that we have to, like, backtrack and defend ourselves. Just forget about what they have to say. They're really the vast minority, these people now.
I love this message. We are the majority, and I can't wait. He's not going to tell me what happens because there's a surprise ending, but I can't wait to see his new play at the 5th Annual Conservative Theatre Festival at the end of this month at the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, Ohio. That's January 29th and the 30th, also virtually. That is the 5th Annual Conservative Theatre Festival. We're going to post an article by my wife right now on Twitter, on Facebook. We are the majority. God bless you, Rabbi Yehoshua Denise. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.